In a few minutes, we're going to be looking at a bit of scripture, but I might fall over too. Might be slaying the spirit right up here. You know, when we were singing Just As I Am and Who I Am, I always want to share a couple of things. When you live through life, there's many experiences. And I remember when I was just a young man, about Andrew's age, and where I was working, a man told me something I've never forgotten. He was an old man. He was 30. And he told me, Don, as you go through life, you're going to have many experiences. Just hope and pray you have more good ones than bad ones. You see, the one thing we have in life that's common to you and me, two things, experiences and relationships. And that, when you get old like I'm getting, you reflect, you ponder, and you meditate more. There are benefits to every season of life. I'm in the season of life when I can take an extra coffee, watch the traffic jams on TV, and not have to go anywhere. And also, there's an advantage. As you get older, you can get closer to God because you have less interference. Do you understand? I mean, we had a pretty calm home till we got a new puppy a few months ago. And I've said to my wife, the puppy reminds me of men and women to God. You know, this puppy is so intelligent, but so stubborn. So stubborn. Just 2 days ago, I had to go out to get him back at about 12:30 in the morning. And I can whistle, do all kinds of things. You know what he does? He looks at me and runs. And I think that's what we do as people. We run from God not knowing it. But when you get older, see, I tell people, isn't it great to be on top of the mountain? You know, it's the stones in your shoes that stop you from climbing the mountain. It's not the big things. And I can assure you, you're going to have a lot of stones. You haven't seen anything yet. You know, it's funny how God works. You know, many years ago, about 60 years ago to be exact, I used to think I could sing like Dan and Andrew and Sam. I even took singing lessons. Isn't that amazing? I bought a tape recorder. And I sang in front of a church where we got married, in the young people's, a song. I'm not going to sing the whole song to you people, so don't get upset. But it was a song by a guy that some of you probably never heard of. I figure he's one of the best tenors that ever lived. He played the Great Caruso in a movie, and the Great Caruso was a tenor singer. His name was Mario Lanza, and he had one problem that I had. He liked food. In fact, he got so fat that a movie called The Student Prince, he couldn't appear on the screen. He sang behind the screen. The guy played the part that looked dashing and, you know, handsome. And he died at 39, I think it was, from a drinking and food binge. 39. He just kept, you know, I have a lot in common with him. Believe it or not, I've lost over 200 pounds in my life. I'm trying to find it. See, I like eating. I like the wrong things. But two things that the Christian community accept readily is gluttony and gossip. The two G's. And they're both destroying, you know? They're bad. But you know what God gave me as I was going through my life? I had a job. I used to live and drink and sleep real estate. And when I was managing a little Remax office, the worst thing I ever did in my life, God said to me something like this in my spirit. I don't hear voices, by the way, people. By the grace of God, you are who you are, and you are who you can be, and I am glad you are you. And you can be what you are by the grace of God. That the toughest decision you're going to face is who Jesus is and who you are. Who you are. We're going to hear a song. I'd just like you to sit back and just bathe. Roughly. And he said about how godly people suffer. Why do godly people suffer? And so I've been really working on this for 2 months, and I made a lot of notes. I have all kinds of scripture, but I felt troubled when I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock. And a couple of things have happened recently I want to use as a backdrop. Right now, there's a man who I know. Miles has met him. And he had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. I helped him many years ago. He's a believer. I met his wife a few days ago, and I said, "How's Peter doing?" She said, "He's depressed. He wants to die." You know, you can suffer in different ways. In different ways. And then, a couple days ago, I heard about a man I know too. I know them well because, see, when you're in real estate, you really get to know people, especially believers. You find out what's important to them. You know, when Jesus said, you can only have one God, that's me. You either have all or you don't have anything at all, right? And money separates most people because it's tangible. We need it. God, we don't see. And we need him more. Anyway, this man, his wife 2 weeks ago had a quad operation with her heart. And then when we had the bad storm, he's a neighbor around a couple of blocks away. He's a believer, strong believer. He went out to break some ice, and he fell and broke his hip. He's 75. When you get older, things like hip fractures don't heal in a day. So he had an operation this week. And to top it all off, he couldn't get in the house. He laid out in the snow for an hour because his daughter was having a shower and he was banging the door and she didn't hear him. And then on Friday, I want to relate a story about my nephew. You see, I'm the youngest of five that my mother had, and my oldest sister had a boy, and we were like brothers. He's 72 this year. And David, when he grew up, was a rebel. He didn't live right. When he was 16, he left school and left home and joined the Navy. Unfortunately, when he was 19 and a half, something happened that changed his life forever. He was in a car going too fast near Halifax, and he had an accident. He hit something and was thrown out of the car because there's no seat belts in those days. This is like 50 years ago. And he was in a coma for 6 months. When my oldest sister and her husband went to see him in Halifax, the doctor greeted them with this. They only had a boy and a girl. Your son will be in a coma the rest of his life. He won't come out of it. They flew him back to Sunnybrook, which is a veterans hospital, because he was in the Navy. And for 6 months, they were right. He stayed in the coma. And then his grandfather on my brother-in-law's side went to see him one day, and his eyelids started to flicker. And he came out of the coma. They called him the miracle boy of Sunnybrook. And his hand was like that, and his foot was bent like a stroke. And so he's never walked since, because some brain damage killed the thing that controls his equilibrium. And if he can stand up in here, if he was here, he could stand up. And this young man had to learn how to do things over again. And he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He's got what my dog's got, stubbornness. Now, stubbornness can be good or bad. I'm stubborn too, and probably it's more bad than good. And so what happened is he started to improve, and he actually had a girlfriend. Miles met his girlfriend. They lived common law for 26 years. They had a house. We went by his house on Friday. I took him out. We used to talk about God with him. We used to take him to places. When he was about 53, we took him to a church in Etobicoke, and they had a movie by a man called David Ring. Now, David Ring, maybe some of you have heard of. Anyone heard of David Ring? You should. Go on YouTube. Maybe you'll find him. He was an evangelist, but he had one thing against that. He was cerebral palsy. He had cerebral palsy. And his mother died when he was young. His father died. And he would say, you know, God, why did you let my mommy die? Because he's a young man, just a kid. Don't take my mommy. And so what happened? He grew up. They said he would never graduate. Miles has seen it. That he would never get married. He got married. They said he wouldn't have children. He had 4 children. And he became a traveling evangelist. And he would stand up in the pulpit and say, I got cerebral palsy. What's your problem? What's your problem? And you know, we all got problems, right? David, we took him to see that movie with his wife, or his girlfriend at that time. We sat, the movie came on, and David, see, we all have a moment, awakening grace, it's called, when God says, I'm here. You need me. Some respond faster than others. Some never respond, unfortunately. Because he doesn't force you to become his child. And so what happens is, this man, David Ring, was in the Merchant Marine, and a hand grenade, I'm sorry, I've got my messages mixed. That's another story. Anyway, the man that I was going to talk about is the guy that had a hand grenade. I said I'm going to be old age. Sorry, Pastor. And the hand grenade went off, and he got disfigured, this other man. And David, my nephew, could relate to him. And when they had an invitation in the church to come up and receive Christ, David put his hands on the pew and stood up. And I said, do you want to go up? And he went up and received Jesus Christ at 53. And then what happened is we just left them alone. See, one thing I've learned with old age, we're seed throwers. We throw out seed. We don't check the seed out. We don't know what's going to grow from it. And we went away and came back, and Wayne, his wife, phoned and said, guess what we did when you were away? We looked at each other one Sunday morning and said, let's go to church. So they went to a church in Mississauga. We used to go away once in a while, and we went away again, came back, and she phoned again and said, guess what we did when you were away? We got married. And we're being baptized. So they both got baptized. I'm going to skip ahead because I could spend 4 hours on this story and the pastor might kick me out. Sorry, pastor. We're friends. I think. Love me, brother. Anyway, what happens, about 2 years ago, he was very sick. Because he can't talk now. I wish he was here today, just to see him. I spent 2.5 hours with him on Friday. And he was told, he doesn't want to be brought back to life if he died, sort of. You know, like they do things to you, keep you alive, food tube, all that stuff. And the medical, we sat around this table, and this medical guy said to my nephew, Mr. McDonald, do you realize you could die? And he mumbled, there's a better place. A better place. Okay. And this man, when I go to visit him, people gravitate to him and he can't even talk to them. He's got a spirit in him that comes out. Do you know what I mean? And see, that's why I go back to the dog. You know, if you have a dog, I've had five different dogs, okay? And if Steve didn't like dogs and he mistreated them a bit, my dog would pick that up when he walked in the room. Might bite your hand. No, but see, we need discerning spirits too, like the dog. Let's skip by that. Let's go into why we're here. You know, we picked up Estelle today. We've known Estelle maybe 40 years, Estelle, maybe. Miles knew her about that time too, nearly, eh? Before he knew about Jesus, true? And she's had some hits, some trouble. And she quoted a verse that I'm going to use as a backdrop in the next few minutes. That, see, the thing that amazes me is that Ananias, who went to see Paul, who was Saul, God says that he'll show Saul how he'll suffer for him. And then if you skip ahead and see how he suffered stoning, shipwreck, on and on. But, you know, the thing is, God and Paul were like together. And when you think of when Paul says, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that his grace will be sufficient in his weakness. You know, there's a song I really like. And it talks about grace. Your grace is enough. I want you to join in after, okay? Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace, I gotta watch out. Your grace is enough for me. And the part I really like, my chains fell off. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, your mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Sing it. Your chains fell off. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, your mercy reigns. Amen. Amazing God. Amazing grace. Isn't that beautiful? Hit, he giveth more grace. You're going to hear one more grace, okay? I got a song leader here. Just, I'll tell you about this woman who wrote this, because we're talking about suffering. We don't know what suffering is. Really. Right? We open it to you to share. You know, I was telling the pastor before I started that we don't want spectator Christians. I believe in getting involved. I believe in body ministry. I don't believe in just sitting back. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. We're all priests. We're all children of God. Anyway, let me just tell you quickly. I'll try to keep it short. I got the gift of the gab in the Bible. It says it, the gift of the gab. Anyway, listen. I was saved when I was 12. Fire and brimstone. When I met my wife, at a church dance, I decided to teach Sunday school. And so I became a Sunday school superintendent at a young age, and I didn't really know Jesus, even though I'd gave my life at 12. But I had a calling, because when I was 21, I can still remember we had a funeral in our family, and they went back to my home. And my two uncles, who were strong Baptists, said, you know, you make a good preacher. You have two things that we all need. You never stand still. They said I had ants in my pants. I haven't found them yet. It must be still in there. And you got a loud voice. You see, I got a loud voice because God prepared me ahead of time. My mother was deaf. My grandfather, who influenced me the most, was deaf. So when I needed the salt, I didn't say, can I have the salt, please? Pass the salt! So I have trouble talking low. So you have to have a lot of grace with me today. I want to make you go deaf. Anyway, what happened was, I could have went to Bible college. My family, friends wanted to send me, but I didn't want to go. I wanted to conquer the world and have Freedom 55. You've heard of that? And sit on the beach and break lemonade and bathe my feet. So off I went. But in the meantime, God had other plans. Other plans. But we started to get messed up. We didn't know if God was real or whether there was a God or what was happening, because we lived in a Christian community where they didn't know either. And so I studied Mormonism, nearly became a Mormon. I came that close. Because, see, Mormons are loving people. They dress good, look good, smell good. They just don't know Jesus and God the way they should. But they're excellent people, I can tell you. But what happened is things started to change. And when I was in my 30s, we went to see a movie in Brampton called A Time to Run by Billy Graham. And in this movie, my wife and I both got touched because we were both wandering a bit, straying. And I had my Sunday school class with me because when I was learning Mormonism, my pastor said, I think it'd be good for you. The man who was leading it, I was in Sunday school with. I believe in divine appointment. There's no reason except for God that I'm here today. And so we all stood up at the invitation to rededicate our life. And some of the our students stood up. They were all 12 and 13. One became a pastor. But when we did that, things started to change back in the homestead because these people started to get Billy Graham literature, and they thought we were bad people then. One time I shared Christ, and my pastor said, I told him, and he said, don't do that. They'll think you're crazy. But anyway, we got baptized, my wife and I together, at 37. But that's when my life changed. Because up to then, you know what it was? Just like Trudeau, sunny days are here again. Every day was sunny to me. I didn't know the word depression. I didn't know what it meant. If you said you were depressed, I'd say, get up, you dummy. You know, you're lazy. Just shake it off and get back to doing it. Isn't that true? But things got bad and bad. They got worse. You can ask my wife. She shared it. I got sick in the head, sick in the spirit, sick in the soul. I'm a social person. When I was sick, I became filled with anxiety and fear and all that good stuff. Afraid to talk to people, afraid to go out, you know. But then I had a brainwave one day. I'm going to go and find Jesus in Florida. You know, that's a good place to go to find them. What do you think? Do you all want to go with me now? I got a bus out there. We're going to take off for Florida. It's a little warmer. I even saw an evangelist down in Huntley Street that I know. I went down with my wife, and he said, that's a good idea. So about 40 years ago, I took off by myself to meet with Jesus in Florida. You know what happened? I had my worst week ever in my life. I cried all week. I didn't wash. And I phoned home and cried. Unfortunately, Jesus was back in my living room. And I was in Florida. So we never met. So I came home in December of 78. That's only 40 years ago, fellas. And guess what? I ended up in a psych ward. In fact, I was so clever, I had two psychiatrists, one a secular and one a Christian. Cover your bases. And so what happened was, I ended up in there, and you know, this is what I'm going to try to hit, because believe it or not, we had small groups in our home. I was a growth group leader for 12 years. And you know what we were teaching? On forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? We were teaching on forgiveness. And I got sick because I had unforgiveness. And I got sicker and sicker. They didn't know what to do with me in the hall. I was at St. Joe's, right near Etobicoke, right here. And so what happened was, I had all people fasting and praying for me, the Christian community. And they were going to give me shock treatments, but at the last minute they said, we know what the problem is. Like the man problem, right? They use a different word today, but in those days they called it manic depressive. Because I tended to be manic sometimes. So they put me on a drug called lithium. I took it for 5 years. You know what I became? A zombie. I walked around, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Nothing was there. And then one day, one evening actually, I was co-leading a growth group with a friend of mine, and God came to me, and on this shoulder, it got warm, and he said, I'm going to take you out of the wilderness. It's time you come out. Do as I show you. And you see, what I forgot to tell you was I was taking drugs for drugs. I not only lithium, I was taking 2 sleeping pills a night. I was taking pills to go to the bathroom, not to go to the bathroom. I was taking pills. In fact, I took so many pills, it was unbelievable. I end up with a spastic colon, all kinds of things. And he said to me, you got to stop taking all this medication. And I have to be careful when I say that because I'm not saying anyone that's on medication shouldn't take medication. Trust me. Trust me. Because my own brother tried it and it failed. But God showed me. So I weaned myself off to an eighth of a sleeping pill eventually. And I don't take that stuff now. But I take some medication because, see, I've had some bad experiences. But I've had wonderful experiences. I got a wonderful wife, a children, many things. But the thing is that I got to be careful. Because, again, I told you I like food. And just to go back a little bit, and then I'll quit. See, that same year in 78, I got healed. I'm doing a back flip here. And back in 77, my wife was pregnant. And she nearly died. Okay? And the doctor, we had 4 kids. My doctor came to me at 11 o'clock at night in the Etobicoke General Hospital. And he said, if we don't do something quick, we could lose both of them. So I phoned the pastor, Ross Ingram, prayed with him. I brought my oldest Christian friend I could find from Brampton. He came and we prayed. My wife is here. She's alive. And so we called our son Peter Abraham, a miracle child. But you see, before I got sick, we went to Florida. I like Florida. I've been there 25 times. That's why the bus is running. And I got travel insurance for the first time in my life for my wife. This is the end of my story, and then I'll turn it over to Estelle. What happened was I got sick in Florida before I got depressed, okay? Everything was happening at once. And I got up one morning and my heart was palpitating. I thought it was going to keel over, so I ended up in the hospital. And this is when God really came alive to me in a big way for the first time in my life, really. Because when they put me on this the gurney thing and they didn't know what my problem is, they came back and said, we don't know why you're alive. It's amazing. You lost 3/4 of your blood internally. So they put me in the hospital. I end up there 11 and a half days, 5.5 days intensive care, stomach pump, 36 hours. But this is when God, when I was on that thing, you know what God came and I didn't even know where it was? We were talking about it on the way here. Romans 8:28. all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It came to me. Can you believe it? Didn't even know it was there. And what happened was, my wife had to live in a motel with the kids to take them from. We had five kids, a little baby, 9 months, and she went in. And we'd gone to it. We were down there at Easter time. We went to a church. A woman took her to a healing service, like a Catherine Kuhlman. And Vicki Jameson was on the platform. My wife was there, right, Ruthie? And she said, we're going to change the program. There's a man in the hospital who's got two ulcers being healed right now. And the woman said to my wife, stand up and receive it in proxy. So she did. I didn't know this. When they went down 2 days later, you know what they found? Healed peptic and healed duodenal. I'm not going to go any further. I could tell you about a few other things. I could keep you here till supper time. The pastor knows that. I'd like, if any of you want to share how you suffered. Listen, depression, there's a book. All of these diseases. Most things come in here and go here. The battlefield of the mind. Right? It's true. You ready to share? Where's that mic? Where's that one we were going to move? That one here? Oh, sorry. Here, you can sit.
No, I can stand.
You're going to stand.
That's why I'm a walker.
This is Estelle.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Estelle Young, and I was saved when I was 24 years old. I was at a pop party on Friday night, and I was in a pew on Sunday morning. And it was, my whole family had thought that a cult got me. And all that had happened was I had been born again. Not a spiritual birth coming from the passion and plan of your parents. One must be born of water. When you're born, you gush forth in water. But one must be born of the Spirit. And my parents were alcoholics. I was very, all my five sisters, my four sisters, there were five girls, were very abused verbally, not sexually abused, but slapped in the face, hit up the back of the head, beaten with belts, thrown out in the street in the snow with no shoes on. And I was told as a child I was no good, I would never be any good. And I was in their way, and I was in everybody's way. So by the time I was 17, I met a corporal in the Canadian Armed Forces. And we got married and raised three children. When my children were 4, 6, and 8, he came home one night and said, I'm leaving you. I'm in love with another woman. We're leaving the province. We're going to Winnipeg. And I was devastated. My nerves were shot. I was so depressed. I was in a townhome I couldn't afford with three children who were depressed. My daughter was 4. She lost clumps of her hair. She almost went bald. My 6-year-old lit a fire in my walk-in closet in my bedroom. And my oldest child, who was 6, had to be admitted into the hospital for depression. And I became very depressed, and he left me around Christmas time. And my nerves were so bad, and my self-esteem was so low, I thought, What is going on? What is this all about? There's got to be more. I don't know why I didn't look up. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. Look at the moon, a perfect light for the night. The sun, a perfect light for the day. Every fruit bears its own seed so it can reproduce. Look at the man's body and the woman's body. perfectly made for each other. It takes more faith that we were some slime in a prehistoric pond that crept out and became a monkey who then became a man. That takes more faith. Look up. Your salvation draws nigh. And I was radically saved. And all my family, my sisters and my one brother, my mother, we've all been saved. My mother swore at me and told me, I don't ever want you to talk to me about effing Jesus again. And I cried and she left. She was living common law with a man. And I opened my Bible and I found a book in a chapter in Mark that said, you haven't lost mother, sister, father, sister, brother, homes, land, in this world with persecution. And I can relate to Peter. First one out of the boat, first one to sink. The Lord told me very early in my walk that Satan had desired to sift me like wheat. But my faith would not fail me. Why? Because of anything I could do? Because he has prayed for me. And Pastor Miles and Pastor Don have been I was at Miles and Lori's baptism. And I went up and I threw a holy kiss on them and a hug. And I said, welcome to the family of God. We've got eternal life. Can you imagine up above our universe, there's a third heaven where we're going to reign. There'll be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. I came this morning hoping to see Lori. In 1986, I was given a thorn in my flesh. And I just couldn't get up out of bed. And I had to be, my husband took me. I remarried 14 years after my husband left me. And 1 year into the marriage, I married a millionaire. And here I was, a mother, a single parent of three children, living on one income. And I was a hairdresser for 25 years. And he came in, he was a member of my church and asked me if I could help him out with his hair and his wardrobe. So he fell head over heels for me. And I said, are you for sure? Because I'm going to be a grandmother one day. And I've got three children. You have no children. No, no, no. I want to be a father to your children. I want to be a grandfather to your grandchildren. Well, it wasn't long before I realized that I had begun to live with the cheapest man in the world. I knew how he got his $1 million. Let's put it that way. Anyway, I was running a successful salon, was very active in my church. But the Lord had said to me, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. And in 1986, I came down with a very disabling, it's what Lori has. They call it chronic fatigue, which is a crime. The real name for it is myalgic encephalomyelitis. It involves your neurological system and your endocrine system and your immunological system. When they asked me if I'd been to a foreign country, I had so many viruses. I had the polio virus, and I was a hairdresser. And when I went to the neurologist, he tried to take my reflexes, and my hands didn't move. He said, how are you working? I said, working? I can't even play. So my husband hung in there for 5 years. He'd leave in the morning, and I'd be in bed. And he'd come home at night, and I'd be in bed. And he hung in there for 5 years, and after that, he left me. And what I must say I've learned, none of us are without excuse, because God's divine power and his wonderful nature has been clearly seen in the things that he has made. Look at tulips and daffodils. Was he cheap with us? We have Cocker Spaniels. We have Boxers. What don't we have? And through it all, I asked the Lord I said, what are you doing? Like, I'm no value to anyone. I'm in bed. Why don't you take me? Because year went on after year. A decade passed. And I lived on the money that I had. I eventually lost everything. I had to sell my home, all my belongings. I lost through one circumstance or another. And what I've learned through it all is you've got to be in the Word. You've got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How can you do that if you're ignorant of the Word? And walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Pray without ceasing. I used to struggle with prayer, to sit still and concentrate and be still and know that he was God. I was teaching Sunday school. I was everywhere. People with ME or chronic fatigue are usually highly motivated, overworked, overused up people. And that's what happened to me. But Satan may have desired to sift me like wheat, but my faith has not failed me. I'm more convinced that we serve a risen Savior. I'm evangelizing. I was called as a missionary. I was saved in 72. In 74, I knew there was a call on my life to be an evangelist and a missionary. And now, all I do is try and stay in the Word, pray without ceasing. Prayer is easy. It's just, there's God on one side and the devil on the other. You've got to bring every thought captive. Where did that come from? Was that the devil? Was it God? Or was it my flesh? And once you've got that figured out, prayer becomes it's very easy to pray without ceasing. God has delivered me from so much. And I stand before you today, a very humbled, very grateful person, your sister in the Lord. I was sent to Sunday school because my parents partied on Friday night and Saturday night. And the lady down the street came and asked my mother, could I take the girls to Sunday school? It was an Anglican church. And they sang, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. And I thought, what the heck are these people talking about? They want to hook a person and reel them in? I'm like, you know, and then I was in Sunday school, and she had a flannel graph. Do you all know what a flannel graph is? And she put Jesus at the wedding of Cana, and the water, and Mary, and he turned the water into wine, and I poked the kid next to me. I said, that guy's a magician. I was not an atheist. I was never an atheist. I just wanted proof. Stupid me, did I never raise my eyes above my head? So thank you for listening to me this morning. Remember this, God's grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Stand on the word. Live in the word. Pray without ceasing. And tell the good news, even if they think you're a fool. I've been in bus shelters and handed them tracts and asked them if they wanted to know who made heaven and earth. And I've been able to fulfill my calling so far to bring other people to Christ. I'm living in a building right now. About 8 or 10 of them have become born again. And we get together and we read the word and we're all growing and God is good. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Put on to the fountain. We'll finish. We're going to finish. That's the answer of the blood of Jesus. You know, I was going to bring out a lot of books because I've read maybe 2,000 books. And we always have this self-help, how to get better and do this and that. It's going to God. Like, I couldn't say it better than what Estelle said. You know, when I was sick, a friend of mine, David Kamenz, came to see me. And he said, are you praying without ceasing? You know, when you're depressed, when things are bad, it's the intercessory prayer of the saints that raise people up. You can't pray. You're in the pit. So never stop praying for people, okay? That's the answer. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. You need the word, but you need the power of the prayer and the Holy Spirit. You want to come up, Pastor, and we'll do communion? You're next. Yeah.
You know what? My sister Estelle, I knew her when I just